Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet Broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
This podcast brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Give them a call, 330-365-9022, aesracing.com, and you can check them out on Facebook as well. Chris Cale, big weekend of sports, professional, college, high school basketball got underway for the girls, and we have that report for you right now.
Absolutely. The girls basketball season opening games, I can't believe it's coming already, and boys basketball game starting after we get done with state finals this weekend. I know after I get done with this, Joe, you'll have all of our state final football stuff ready to go. So girls basketball from Friday night, Riverview. They squeaked by Garaway 48-44. Sydney Whitus dropped 15 points, and Kelsey Hartsock added 12 for the Lady Black Bears. Callie Regula led the Lady Pirates with 21, and Zoe Johnson with 10. Beaver Local, they downed Carrollton 57-41. Jenna Ricardo dropped in 26 points, 19 in the first half. Chloe Glass led the Lady Warriors with 15, and Abby Leisure added 10. Wayndale took care of TCC 62-30. New Lexington hammered Newcomerstown 75-32. North Canton Hoover, they disposed of West Holmes, we'll say, 70-28. On Saturday, Dover got two Sam Blair foul shots with 6.1 seconds left to knock off Tuskegee Valley 43-42. Sam had 17 points and 13 boards to lead the Lady Tornadoes. Jordan Kuykendall led all scorers with 23, including 5 from behind the arc for the Lady Trojans. The New Philadelphia Lady Quakers came back to beat Nordonia at the Canton Fieldhouse 58-45. Rachel Anderson poured in 16. Paige Kaiser had 12 points for the Lady Quakers. Josie Pry with 9 points and 11 rebounds. Aaliyah Currents added 7 boards. Little weird, Joe, to not see Aaliyah Currents' name at the top of the leading scorers for the Lady Quakers.
It is a little weird, but you know what? That just shows me there's other options than Aaliyah. Obviously, Aaliyah's probably their best player, all-around best player, but it's nice to see other girls' names at the top of that list. We know Aaliyah can put the ball in the basket and grab those rebounds and get blocks and all that kind of stuff. So she's probably just doing the other things that night, or either that or Nordonia had a really good game plan against her.
Absolutely. And, you know, Rachel Anderson, obviously, we know she's a vet. She's going to get some minutes. You know, Josie Pry, of course, and Paige Kaiser, too. You know, this team is going to be a very good team, and they showed it by knocking off Nordonia in week number one. Sandy Valley, they ripped Claymont 57-18. Carly Altmore had 20.6 steals. Sophomore Tori Sikafoos added 9 points, 4 steals, and 4 assists. Centerville, they beat a Young Highland team. Division 1 Centerville beat a Young Highland team 65-44. Abby Miller led the way for the Lady Hawks with 12 points. Kylie Horn and Krista Troyer had 8 apiece. Caldwell over Conotton Valley 46-32. And then on Monday, Strasburg, they were led by freshman Emma Gilkerson. Her 18 points and 4 rebounds down Coshocton 43-27. Julie Schutball added 9 for the Lady Tigers. How about the freshmen stepping up?
I always like seeing freshmen have big games in varsity games. I think it's a lot of fun. Obviously, you're going to see freshmen, if they're really good, they're playing a freshman schedule, you know, you're going to see them dominate. But when you see a freshman dominate on a varsity level playing against 17, 18-year-old kids, that's pretty special.
It is, and it's different nowadays because if you remember back in the day, especially when I was in high school, and I'm sure it was the way it was when you were down in Cincinnati, freshmen had freshman teams. Freshmen didn't play high school basketball unless you were very, very special. Kind of like football around here. Sure. Freshman teams, unless you're very, very special, you don't get pulled up.
Well, I would agree. But, you know, since we've been doing this show, we saw a freshman have a pretty good career as a starting quarterback for Garaway. RJ Jacobs started as a freshman. Yep. But, yeah, growing up down in Southwest Ohio, we had freshman teams. We had big schools down there, so we had enough kids. But my freshman year, we had a kid on our team. His name was Brad, and he actually was pulled to
B-Rad.
You know, whatever. But he was pulled up to varsity his freshman year, led to county in scoring. Yeah, so it was pretty impressive.
It happens.
Oh, yeah, it does, and pretty special. There's some freshmen out there that can really light it up, but when you're ready, you're ready. I mean,
there's a couple around here, right? Alex Sarah was one.
Sure.
Cam Blair was one.
Yep.
Gabe Tingle was one.
Yes, he was.
So we have quite a few in our area that step up, but just not the way it used to be back in our day, for the most part. And it's just like college basketball, right? You never had these young kids coming out of the NBA, and now they're just flooding in. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. But anyway, the freshman again, Strasburg. Strasburg's Emma Gilkerson with 18 points to lead the way for the Lady Tigers. Sandy Valley moved to 2-0 with a 65-42 win over Akron Springfield. Bailey Offenberger hit 5 from behind the arc and scored a career-high 25 points to lead the Lady Cards. Carly Altimore added 14 points and 13 boards. That's a pretty good all-around game there. And then Buckeye Trail, they outlasted Conotton Valley 67-41. Ashley Wheeler led the way for the Lady Warriors with 20 points. That is my high school wrap-up for girls basketball. Joe, I know we had some great football games, a couple in our area. The state finals are set for Thursday night.
They are. The first game will get underway at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and what is the name of that?
Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium.
Tom Benson Hall. I was thinking of Fawcett, but I know.
It is Fawcett.
Is it still
to
Fawcett?
To us, it's Fawcett.
All right.
But it's in reality, it's Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, but we still all know it in this area as Fawcett.
I would agree. But Thursday, it all gets underway up there at Tom Benson Stadium at 7:30 Thursday night, Division II, number 3, Maslin. They take on number 1. Akron Hoban, battle of two teams that are 14-0, probably could be the best game of the weekend.
I agree. Hoban looking for what, 4 in a row, right?
Yes, yes.
And Maslin looking for their first state title in quite some time. I'm still rubbed the wrong way by the 100 points. Are you rooting for Maslin?
I don't root for anybody. I just want good games.
Okay.
I only root for people if I have a tie to that team, and I don't have ties to anybody in this.
Okay.
So I don't root for, I just want good games. How about
okay.
that? So the next game on Friday morning at 10 o'clock, this could be a really good game. Could be the game of the weekend as well.
You just said that for Thursday.
But no, when you hear the matchup, you'll understand.
Okay.
Division 6, number 1, Kirtland, 14-0 against the defending state champions, Marion Stein, Marion Local, 13-1. That will be a really good game Friday morning at 10 a.m. at Tom Benson Stadium. At 3 o'clock, Division 3, Kettering Alter taking on Chagrin Falls. Kinston, the team that knocked out West Holmes in our area. Obviously, I don't have a tie to Alter, but they're kind of down from the Cincinnati way, so you never know who would win that game, but that is a parochial school. So we'll see.
Who are you rooting for?
We'll see what happens.
All right, then.
Division 1 on...
There's only one parochial school I root for.
Yeah?
One.
Okay.
TZC.
Okay, there you go. Friday night, the third game on the Friday night on the Friday night game at 8 o'clock, the third game of the night. Division 1, number 9, Lakewood St. Edward, 10-3. They take on number 1, Colerain. They are 14-0. That should be a good game as well. I don't think they played in the regular season, but Colerain and Lakewood St. Ed. So a battle of Division 1 powerhouses, southern part of the state, the northern part of the state.
That'll
we'll see what happens. I'm kind of rooting for Colerain in that game because
said you don't root for people.
Well, I kind of have a tie to Colerain. I did some of their games when I was down there, and Tom Bolden.
Is Colerain a parochial school?
It's Colerain, but no, it's a public school.
Okay. Is St. Ed's a parochial school?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So there's another tie.
Well, I'm just rooting
for I said, we only root for one parochial school.
I'm just rooting
in this
for Colerain because of Tom Bolden, their head coach. I really appreciate Tom, and he did a lot of good things for us when I was down there. So Saturday, the first game of the day at 10 a.m., Division 7, Macomb 13-1. They take on number 2, Gloucester Trimble.
I've heard of Gloucester Trimble, but I've never heard of
Macomb.
Macomb.
Yep.
Is that like...
Like Macomb your hair. Oh, no, never mind.
Wow.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
So the second...
You Macombed your hair this morning.
Yes, I did. The second game on Saturday, Division 5, Orville takes on Johnstown Monroe.
There's a local tie kind of close.
Yep. Orville and Johnstown Monroe. Orville 12-2 on the year. Johnstown Monroe 13-1. So that will be a good one as well on Saturday afternoon. And the final game of the day and of the state championship will be Saturday night at 8 o'clock, Division 4, Cincinnati, Wyoming, 14-0, and they take on Girard at 13-1.
Girard up by my work, and boy, that's a long trip for from Wyoming.
It is. It was Cincinnati, Wyoming, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
but
a long
still,
trip.
It's still a longer trip for Girard. I mean, a longer trip.
Are they flying
in? Yeah, they need to because all these Cincinnati
Well, they're coming
teams,
from Wyoming.
Well, all these Cincinnati teams have to fly in because it's like 4 hours up here, and all these little Cleveland teams get a little half hour. They sleep in their own bed.
So here's your plug for putting it back at Ohio Stadium?
Absolutely.
Come on, man. Nobody wants to play in Ohio Stadium
really?
For a state title game.
Really?
They want to play at the Hall of Fame.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hall of Fame.
Wow. Well, that's because you have that Northern Ohio bias. I have that Southern Ohio bias.
It's because I don't want it out of this area. It's a huge, huge economy boost for our area. And if I was a high school athlete on the football field, I would want to play next to where the legends reside, and that is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Funny thing is, I
in
take
Canton, Ohio, and no, I was not compensated for that plug.
But see, I would take if I was a high school player, you're trying to get to the ultimate echelon, obviously NFL Hall of Fame.
Correct.
But how many of our high school kids are going to get to the NFL Hall of Fame?
How many of our high school kids are going to play for Ohio State?
Hey, there's probably more than that than go to the NFL.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
That.
You know what I mean?
I could go with that.
You know what I mean? So if I was a high school kid and you grew up a Buckeye fan or you grew up, man, Ohio State, you know, how cool would it be to play there?
I get it. But how cool would it be to play on the same field that, you know, Dez Bryant played on, Ezekiel Elliott?
And well, you can still do that
Brett
in Columbus.
Favre and
you can still do that in Columbus.
Brett Favre.
Because Zeke played in Columbus.
Favre wasn't there.
I mean, there's so many legends that played for Ohio State.
Here we go.
Eddie George,
okay,
Orlando
well then,
Pace.
We might as well lead right into that. Joe, you got to take in your first Ohio State-Michigan game, the game. And we all sat here last week and said, look, you know, I think it's going to be a good game. Could be tight. You know, maybe if Ohio State wins, they squeak by at the end. Maybe with a mistake from the Wolverines. Of course, the Wolverines ranked fourth in the Ohio State Buckeyes were number 10, and it wasn't much of a game right from the start. Actually, it was a very good game. It was one of the most enjoyable games I've watched in college football all season. Blowout or not, I loved it.
I loved every bit of it, and it was a lot of fun. Obviously, a couple years ago, you got to see a better all-around game.
Yeah, but I'd rather have the blowout.
It was a lot of fun, I'll be honest, and being down there, I just can't explain to you. I mean, I can explain to you because you understand, but to the viewers and the listeners, when you're down there for a game and you're on the field, just the energy and the excitement of that game, and just you just can't wrap your mind around it.
It's just
there's
different.
Nothing that compares to it that I've ever been to in my
life.
No
high school game, no pro game,
yeah,
no
nothing. I was at a Cavs playoff game. It doesn't even compare.
Nothing.
And,
not even,
you know,
close.
I would rather. I mean, I've been to more energetic and more fun, electric high school games than a Cavs game.
Well,
you know?
and you could go to the Super Bowl,
sure,
and it wouldn't be. You could go to the AFC Championship game in Cleveland, and there would not be a better atmosphere than what there is for the Ohio State Michigan game. Rather, it's in Ohio State and it's in Columbus or it's in Ann Arbor. It is just so different. It is so electric from whenever you pull your car onto campus. Before you even get out of the car, you can just sense it, right? You can just feel it and see it in people's faces. At 8 o'clock in the morning, it's incredible.
I would
incredible.
Agree.
Incredible. If you've never been to one, you need to go.
But obviously, the Buckeyes they hammer Michigan 62-39.
What?
The number one ranked defense in the country was Michigan coming in. The Buckeyes put it to them and put it to them in a big, big way on Saturday. If you look at the team stats overall,
Gigglesburg Swiss cheese.
Well, after the game, they were Swiss cheese. But anyway, if you look at the total yards, the Buckeyes put up almost 600 yards of offense.
Sure.
396 yards from Dwayne Haskins and 171 yards rushing and six touchdowns for
the sophomore.
Yeah.
Sophomore.
So six touchdown passes for Dwayne Haskins. Huge game for him. Huge game for Northeast Ohio's Paris Campbell. Six catches, 192 yards, and two touchdowns. Of course, that long one towards the This is the fourth quarter. Yep. 78-yard touchdown reception that put those numbers up in the stratosphere. Is that a career game for him? He's less than 100 yards away from having a 1,000-yard receiving season for the Buckeyes. Mike Weber had a good game on the ground, 13 carries, 96 yards, and
good
a touchdown.
Good to see him back in number five, though.
Yeah, well, it's funny. We were all scratching our head in the press box, like, why is Weber wearing number five? Or first, we were like, who's number five?
Yeah.
And then so I
Braxton come back?
Yeah. I emailed Jerry Emig while I was sitting in the press box. I said, why is Mike Weber wearing number five? He said, it's the game. He wore number five in his Pop Warner days. He's from Michigan, so he kind of wanted to go back to number five for that game. I think that kind of resembles or tells me a little bit that I think he's gone after this year. That was kind of his last hurrah, saying, hey, I am from Michigan. I wore number five.
He's kind of been overshadowed.
A little bit. But
I think J.K. has had a much better season. Mike Weber's been a little injury prone now. What, two? He missed two games now or three because of injury this season? I kind of would have to agree with you. I think that was his way of
saying,
you know, paying tribute, you know,
to his days,
so to speak, to his past and moving on.
And do I think he's an NFL running back? Sure. I don't think he's a high draft pick. He may be second day.
I don't know.
I think he has the speed and the toughness to get there. I really do. I think he's a second day pick maybe. You never know what's going to happen. Somebody give him a shot.
Sure, right?
Absolutely.
I don't see him being a running back in the NFL that's going to stick around for a while. I mean, maybe a Carlos Hyde type back that gets, you know, 7, 8, 9 carries a game, you know, or fills in an injury role. But I don't know if I see him as an every down back in the NFL. But who knows? Do you see, I'll ask you this as we get ready to move into Northwestern talk now. Is this it for Dwayne Haskins? Does he go pro? And do you think that he is a pro quarterback?
Before I answer that question, I also wanted to say hats off to Chris Olave, the true freshman.
Oh, yes.
Who had a huge game, a punt block, two big touchdowns for the Buckeyes, and really played well for the Buckeyes. The freshman wide receiver, he's going to be special over the next few years for the Buckeyes. But to the Dwayne Haskins question, there has been some rumors around about him leaving this year because he's eligible. He's a redshirt sophomore. You have to leave after your third. You can leave after your third year out of high school.
Well, it was brought up at the press conference that we were at.
But you know what? I think he's had some great numbers. He's passed for over 4,000 yards. Well into the 30s, 41 touchdowns now. He's had a great season. His completions percentage is at 69%. Is he ready for the NFL? That's the question you've got to ask yourself, and he's got to ask himself. If he gets drafted high right now in the first round, does he start next year in the NFL? My answer to that is no. And I think that's why he needs to come back another year.
I agree.
And I think a lot of the rumors or a lot of the questions were starting to be asked, hey, is he going to leave? I think he loves it so much at Ohio State, he wants to be there. It's kind of like, believe it or not, I know JT wasn't that quarterback that we ever thought about leaving early or whatever, but you know, he loves that university. He loves those guys and wants to play with them and wants to play for Coach Meyer. That was his dream. If you remember the video, he was 7 or 8 years old and said, I want to be a starting quarterback at Ohio State one day. You know, and that he's doing that. Is he only going to do his dream for a year? But I don't think he's a starting NFL quarterback right now.
I don't either.
I think if he comes back and has another great year, they are losing some weapons on the offensive side with Paris Campbell being gone, Johnny Dixon will be gone, KJ Hill will probably be gone.
Yeah, but they'll reload.
But they've got a bunch of good young receivers coming in next year. Garrett Wilson from Texas. You got Cameron Babb, who didn't play all year because of an injury. You got Chris Olave coming back. You still got J.K. Dobbins. So they're going to be okay offensively.
Still have Ben Vick, too.
Sure. And he needs to pull his head out of his butt. But anyway, but Haskins, is he ready for the NFL? I don't personally think he's ready. I think he's had a great season. Give him another year in this system. Give him another year of college
football. You think the potential is there for him to be an NFL quarterback?
I do, because he has the size, he has the arm strength, he has the accuracy. I think he has the knowledge of the game to play in the NFL.
Right, I agree.
But I don't think he's ready right now.
Do you think that the fact that there is no quarterback out there right now that – we can even speak. I couldn't name you other than Tagovailoa or however you say his name from Alabama.
Tua.
We'll just say Tua. Other than him, I really don't think. I mean, I can name the book kid from Notre Dame, but you know, there's not a lot of quarterbacks out there that are going to be coming out. There's no, you know, Sam Darnold, you know, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield debate, I guess. There's not nobody saying this guy, if he comes out, he's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. It's everybody going, eh, who's out there? If Haskins comes out now, boom, I think he's the first quarterback off the board. Does that entice him enough to come out? I hope not, because I think he does need another year as well.
There are some good quarterbacks in college football. Will Greer's a name right there from West Virginia. He's a senior. He'll be done. He'll be in the NFL draft. Tua's only a sophomore, so he can't go anywhere.
Right, right.
You've got
Jalen Hurts.
He ain't going anywhere.
Exactly.
Kyler Murray, he's already said he's not playing football at the professional level. He's going to play for the A's. He was drafted in the first round by the Oakland A's this past June. So baseball is his dream. You got Dwayne Haskins. You got the kid out at Washington and Washington State. You got the kid at USC who could turn around and
well,
JT.
Well, but he's got another year
a
or
lot
two
of,
left,
there's
too.
A lot. Well, he's a true freshman, so he's got
right,
2 years.
That's what I said.
But there's a lot of young quarterback talent out there. You know, that's a great point you made about saying if Dwayne comes out now, is he the first quarterback off the board?
I would think so. But he could be next year, too.
Sure, absolutely. But we'll see what happens. And obviously, Shea Patterson, they were talking about him possibly being an NFL-style quarterback. And
garbage.
Comparing him to a little bit to Dak Prescott because of their college days.
You know what you say?
But
Shea.
Yeah, but
you're still 0-4.
But there is some big names coming up. And that's Jake Fromm from Georgia.
Yeah.
You got Tua. You've got the kid, the Lawrence kid from Clemson, who's got another couple years
but
left.
But there's no
first round franchise quarterback right now in this draft class that you look at and you say, man, he's going to be the first overall pick. Because if you look at all the mock drafts and look at Mel Kiper Jr. and all those guys that are predicting the drafts. You look at defensive guys. You look at Nick Bosa.
Right.
You look at Rashawn Gary from Michigan, who's in the top five. You look at the dude from Houston. You know, there's so many. It's a defensive-loaded draft this year. Defensive backs, linebackers, defensive ends, defensive tackles. So quarterback-wise, Dwayne Haskins, in my personal opinion, I would stay another year.
Right.
Get another year of college football, big-time college football, under your belt, and get your game even better.
Right. And you know, looking at Northwestern, obviously Northwestern in the top 20 right now, or actually they were 21?
They were 18, but 18. The new rankings come out tonight.
Okay.
So
right.
We will
so
see.
We'll see where they're at. But Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern going to give Ohio State a good game in Indianapolis this Saturday night. I'm sure that they're going to show up. They're going to be fired up and ready to go. But let's be honest. If Ohio State even resembles the team of this past Saturday, this won't be much of a game. But if the Ohio State that shows up against Maryland or Purdue or Penn State, then they could let Northwestern hang around long enough that Northwestern could give them some issues.
I would agree. Right now, Buckeyes are 14-point favorites going into the Big Ten Championship game, 8 o'clock on Saturday night on Fox. So we'll get a little more Gus Johnson action, which I appreciate Gus's work.
It was pretty good. He did a nice job.
But if you compare the teams a little bit, points per game, the Buckeyes are averaging 43 points a game. Northwestern, almost 24 points a game. Northwestern's given up almost 22 points a game. The Buckeyes are giving up 26 points a game. Total yards, the Buckeyes on offense have averaged 544 yards this season a game. Northwestern 352. Passing yards 237 to 363 for the Buckeyes. Yeah. Rushing yards 114 for Northwestern and 181 for the Buckeyes. Total yards allowed, or average yards allowed, the Northwestern averages 373 yards, giving up the Buckeyes almost 400. That's a glaring problem, but there has been some games in there.
Well,
the Maryland game, the Purdue game, that inflated.
You look at the way this defense played against Michigan. If they can bottle that up and continue playing their best football towards the end of the season, I think Ohio State takes care of Northwestern, and I think Ohio State gets into the top four. I think that they are deserving to get in the top four for the fact that this will be, if they beat Northwestern, that'll be the fifth top 25 team that they've beaten, right? The fifth team that they've beaten. And Georgia, if they win out, they'll have beaten four top 25 teams if they beat Alabama.
We don't want them to beat Alabama.
If Alabama wins and beats Georgia, that's only the third top 25 team Alabama's beat.
Yeah.
Oklahoma really ain't played anybody.
If you look at Oklahoma,
they give up a ton of points, and you're going to put them in? I mean,
yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I was watching a lot of the national stuff over the weekend and talking about how the Buckeyes really opened the eyes of a lot of the national media of how well they played on Saturday. Yeah, they gave up 39 points. But you know what? They scored 62 points in a rivalry game against the number one ranked defense in the country.
Yep.
Now, and this isn't week two. This is week number 14.
Yep.
So if you look at...
So you're saying they didn't play the Citadel?
They didn't. Okay. But if you look at what the Buckeyes did to Michigan, 62 points against that number one ranked defense in the country in all of college football, that's pretty impressive.
You're darn right it is.
And that's but if you look at
it... The offense hasn't been the issue.
But that's more of an impressive win than anything that's on Oklahoma's schedule.
It is, but what impressed me is the pressure that the defense had, the pressure the special teams put on. You know what I mean? It was smash mouth football, and yeah, they had a couple plays where they, you know, made some gains. They had a couple big plays. They got a garbage touchdown at the end. Michigan was never in that game. The score is not indicative as to how much of a butt whooping that really was. That's just the way it is.
I would agree, and you know, if you look at what they did to Michigan in that game, and they were able to put up the 62 points, and just think about this for a second, Chris. Not many people realize this. The 62 points scored against Michigan is the most the program has ever allowed in any game in regulation. Going all the way back to like 1898 when they played Colgate and gave up 56. So what Ohio State did to that defense.
They played a toothpaste?
Yeah, pretty much. But that's Michigan for you. But right.
It'd be like Alabama playing floss.
Dental floss.
That's what I mean.
But Ohio State, are they deserving? Let's see what they do Saturday night.
Well, I can't do that.
Yeah,
that's
probably good to stop.
Okay,
but if they come out on Saturday and they win 31-28 on a field goal at the end of the game, that's probably not a good thing.
Right,
I agree. If they come out and win 56-14 or 56-21, that's pretty dominant, and that's going to show the committee again, hey, Buckeyes are starting to play really good football. Their defense played well. Their offense can score with anybody. Let's compare these to these other teams. And I know I'm going to get some people out there being, oh, they're undefeated, whatever. But realistically, look at...
Some people are one.
Probably just one that I know of. But
yes, that's you, Tim Plants.
But if you look at Notre Dame, okay, yes, they've played some ranked teams at a time, but most of their schedule is not very good. They are 12-0. I'll give them all the credit in the world. They beat Michigan I don't know if it was handily. They didn't beat Michigan like we beat them. But you know what? They played 12 games.
They almost lost.
Okay. They played 12 games. They don't have a championship game. They don't have that, man, the last game before the committee decides game.
Mm-hmm.
They played USC, who's down. I don't have their schedule in front of me.
And USC probably, in all for intents and purposes, should have won that game.
No,
they should have won that game.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of big turnovers. But if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, okay, and I'm not picking on Notre Dame, but they're 12-0. They don't have a championship game. That happened a couple years ago to who? That's right, TCU, because they didn't have a championship game.
Yeah.
The Buckeyes surpassed them, and you know we'll see how. I mean, I'm going to pull up Notre Dame's schedule here if it loads quick enough for me, and look at their schedule. They're like I said, they're 12-0, and they sit at number 3. So if things happen, and my phone doesn't want to work for me, here we go. If things happen the right way, obviously Ohio State fans, we have to root for Alabama this week. As much as that stinks, we have to root for Alabama because
Alabama's not dropping out of the top 4.
If they lose, Alabama's not dropping out. Georgia will get in, Notre Dame will get in, and Clemson will get in.
Correct.
But there's things that can happen this weekend. Will they all happen? Probably not. But the Buckeyes, the first and foremost, the Buckeyes just need to take care of business. And we will see, you know, what happens with the Buckeyes and Northwestern on Saturday. Oklahoma plays Texas. That's a rematch game.
Yep.
Of course, Georgia and Alabama, Clemson and Pitt. There's some other teams that are playing in there. UCF, they have a chance to get in there, but losing their quarterback is going to hurt their chances. Even if they win, the committee's going to be like,
they're out.
Yeah,
they're out. And that's and I think Notre Dame should be in. They're undefeated. I do think they're a top 4 team in the country, even though I'm not a Notre Dame fan at all whatsoever. I will put my bias aside and I will say Notre Dame should be in the top four. What I hope happens, obviously, is for Pittsburgh to beat Clemson. So my Panthers, who got embarrassed after finally getting into the top 25 by Miami, if they can get in, if they can come back and have a good game and knock off Clemson, then Ohio State's going to be in. Hopefully that jumps Ohio State up to the third spot, and Notre Dame would be number two, and Ohio State and Notre Dame would play, and then we could finally figure it out for once and for all in 2018, who's better, and we can shut Tim Plants up because I think Ohio State would beat them. But that's not the point. The point is Wednesday. We won't be able to podcast until Wednesday because I work Monday, Tuesday.
What?
So, I know. So, Sunday night the rankings come out. Your top four, period, right now.
Before the games?
This is what you think is going to happen. What you think is going to happen, your top four, and then we'll move on to the NFL.
I think Alabama beats Georgia. I think they'll be the number one team.
I concur.
I think Clemson beats Pitt.
I concur.
I think Texas pulls the upset on Oklahoma. And I think that because it's the second time they played, the first game was close. The second game is going to be close as well. I think Texas can pull this off. Am I rooting for Tom Herman? No, but we need to, just like we need to root for Alabama. But I think Oklahoma, that will knock Oklahoma out. I think Ohio State beats Northwestern. But, you know, there are some under. We'll see what happens. But I think when it all said and done on Sunday night, when they announce.
Your top four.
My top four will be Alabama at number one, Clemson at number two, Notre Dame at number three. Actually, I'm going to say Notre Dame is going to drop to number four.
Okay.
And then they'll jump Ohio State to number three.
Okay.
If Oklahoma loses. If Oklahoma doesn't lose and Oklahoma and Ohio State win, I honestly can see Notre Dame falling to number five and they put Oklahoma and Ohio State in.
Okay. So this is what I think will happen. I think Alabama will win. I think they'll be number one. I think Clemson will win. They'll be number two. I think Notre Dame will be number three. And I don't think that with the schedule Ohio State's had and the schedule that Oklahoma has had and the eye-popping win, as long as Ohio State takes care of business and puts a double-digit win up on Northwestern because they've beaten five top 25 teams. That's almost half the schedule. Five top 25 teams, more than any other top five team in the country, more than any other top 10 team in the country now. If they take care of Northwestern, Ohio State will be number four and be in the college football playoffs when all is said and done. So that is our college football wrap up. Let's move on quickly to some other stuff. The NFL, Joe.
We have to?
Yes. Okay. The Cleveland Browns put a spanking on your Bungles, and we will call them the Bungles.
They're not my Bengals.
35-20 to get their first road win in 25 games. They led 28-7 at the half. Shake and bake. Baker Mayfield was 19 of 26 for 258 yards and count them four touchdowns against your defense.
It's not my team.
Nick Chubb, 28 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown. Three catches, 44 yards and a touchdown. David Njoku, five catches, 63 yards and a touchdown. How about Demarius Randall's interception when he walked over and handed it to Hugh Jackson?
That was pretty good.
It was really good. I don't think Hugh was amused. How about when Hugh Jackson yelled, "Bake, bake," and tried to shake his hand at the end of the game, and he was going to come in for the hug, and Bake said, "Yeah, hey, good to see you, coach," and left. Not sure what the animosity is. I don't know if that's the players just kind of playing, "Hey, look."
Well, no, Mayfield said something about it in a press conference, and he said that it was – he almost felt like it was kind of a slap in the face because all of a sudden he was telling us all season in the locker room, "Hey, we're playing for you, playing for the Browns, you're playing for me, blah, blah, blah," was Hugh Jackson. And now all of a sudden he travels 4 hours down the road and he's in the locker room of the other team. Well, to Hugh's defense.
What are you going to do?
Turn down
a job?
He was fired from the Browns. It's not that he resigned and went to work for the Bengals.
Correct.
He was fired from the Browns, so he's got to find employment. And I don't blame the guy. He's going to go get work, you know. But to Baker Mayfield saying, "Oh, well, he turned his back on it." Well, he didn't turn his back on it. The organization turned
him
back. Yeah, so he got fired. He can go do what he wants. If he wanted to go be quarterback.
He turn down a job?
Sure. If he wanted to go work for the Steelers, he could go work for the Steelers. But,
exactly.
You know,
he got a job offer back with his old coach.
I don't understand Baker Mayfield. That's just Baker Mayfield being Baker Mayfield.
I agree.
You know, and I mean,
it is what it is. But the Browns, they now travel to Houston, who is one of the hottest
teams
in the
NFL. Eight teams in a row, man.
They travel at 1 o'clock. Your Bengals.
They're not my Bengals. I renounced them when they kept. This is Florida.
Oh,
this
whatever.
Is Florida colors.
Yeah, sure it is. You love
this
Florida.
This is Clemson colors.
Okay, you love Clemson.
I'm rooting for Clemson.
No, okay, sure you are. I'll bet you you're not.
I bet you I'm not either.
Okay, so your Bengals.
They're not my Bengals.
They host Denver at 1 o'clock.
I see. I'm a Denver Broncos fan.
Speaking of
Orange
the Texans, they become the first team in NFL history to start 0-3. They are now 8-3 with a 34-17 win over Tennessee. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they lost to the Broncos 24-17 because they decided they just were going to do this with the ball. So that's what they did all night long.
Can I tell you something?
They just turned it over and turned it over. They served up turnovers.
Okay.
Apple turnovers, hopefully.
It's kind of the same thing Ben did in week one against the Browns. He was a chef that day, a pastry chef.
Yes.
He was turnovers. But, okay, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm a Ben. I mean, I like Ben. I think he's had a great career. Hall of Fame career, yes, absolutely. He's in the Hall of Fame one day when he's done playing. But a game like that, or a game like in Cleveland, or another bad game that he's had in his career, that's what keeps him from being in the conversation of Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees,
yeah,
Tom Brady.
I agree.
You know, until he gets past that, and unfortunately we're running out of time.
Right.
But Ben, he's in the, if you say top 10 quarterbacks in the league, absolutely. Top 5?
I think he's a top 5 quarterback
in the NFL right now. I don't know if he is, man.
Look at the numbers.
I think he's just outside the top 5.
Yeah, look at the numbers.
Because you got Rodgers, you got Brees, you got Brady, you have Pat Mahomes right now.
You can't put Pat Mahomes in the top five in the NFL because you can't.
Right now for this season? That's what I'm talking about. Top 5 NFL quarterbacks right now.
I don't know, man.
Pat Mahomes has to be in there.
I think Drew Brees. I don't even think Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has played terrible then if you want to go on to this year. Brady's had a decent year. I think the best quarterback in the NFL is Drew Brees.
I agree.
Drew Brees has been on fire. If you want to go to the year, yeah, I guess you could say Mahomes. So you got him and Brady. How do you not put Ben in the top 5? Who else are you going to put up there? Maybe Jared Goff.
Jared Goff had a great season.
Okay, so he's a top 5. So right now you've got, we'll even say Mahomes. So Mahomes, Brees, Goff, Brady, Ben.
Rodgers.
Rodgers has had
a terrible year. Him in there, though.
He's had a terrible year. You're putting him in there for what he's done in the past. He's not had that good of a year. Look at his numbers. They're not there. They're not Ben Roethlisberger numbers.
Well, I mean, I would agree with that, but
okay.
I think Rodgers is all around
Deshaun
better.
Watson has had a good season after three really bad games.
And that's another one I would probably throw in there.
In a top five?
He's had a top five kind of year, man. After what he come back from last year, being hurt, leading his team to an NFL record, tying an NFL record, 8 straight games winning.
You know who's fallen on hard times is Wentz. And the Eagles.
But I don't think he's 100% healthy.
How about Jacksonville?
Yeah.
They just
benched Bortles for Cody Kessler.
Really?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Yes.
Did you know that Landry Jones was with them and they cut him?
Well, that's probably
all right. Anyway, let's move on from the NFL with this final thought. The Patriots, the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Steelers lead their divisions in the AFC. The Chargers and Baltimore hold on to the wild card slots. The Colts just outside. Yes, the Browns, the Cleveland Browns, after Thanksgiving, 2 games out of a wild card. Still alive. Good for them. In the NFC, the Cowboys, the Redskins, they're tied for the East lead. The Rams, the Bears, the Saints all lead their divisions with the Seahawks, Vikings, and Panthers all in wild card contention. And, of course, either the Cowboys or the Redskins, whichever one, doesn't win the division. Moving into the NBA, the Cavs lost their shot at 3 in a row with a 102-95 loss to Minnesota last night. Rodney Hood, 20 points, 3 assists. Kyle Korver, 22 points. Tristan Thompson, 16 points and 11 boards. The Cavs take on the Thunder in Oklahoma City tomorrow night, tip time at 8 o'clock. And then they travel to Boston to take on the Celtics Friday night at 7. The Cavs are 4-15 and in 14th place in the East. Toronto leads the East at 17-4, followed by Milwaukee, who's 14-6, and the 76ers, who are 14-8. In the West, the Clippers 13-6, Golden State 14-7, and Denver 13-7 to lead the West. Your thoughts quickly on the Cavs.
Great, they won.
That was
they
quick.
Won two or three in a row. That's probably more than they're going to win to the end of the year.
That was quick.
Yeah, there are not many thoughts about the Cavs right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on J.R. Smith wanting to be traded?
Good. See ya.
All right. Moving on. The NHL, the Columbus Blue Jackets improved to 14-8-2.
Who'd they beat?
With a 7-5 win over the Red Wings.
Didn't they beat the Pittsburgh?
No, they did not.
I thought they beat Pittsburgh.
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
You might want to be quiet. Okay, last night, Pierre-Luc Dubois had two goals and an assist to lead the Blue Jackets with 3 points. Sergei Bobrovsky had 27 saves in net. And, of course, the Blue Jackets, they host Minnesota on Thursday at 7 o'clock as they trail Washington by 1 point for the lead in the Metro Division. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they beat Columbus on Saturday, and they play at Winnipeg tonight at 8 o'clock. The Penguins are in sixth place in the Metro, 8 points behind Washington. And then MLB quick news, former Cleveland Indian outfielder Lonnie and third baseman Lonnie Chisenhall signed a one-year $2.75 million deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Thank you for giving us some outfield help. And also, Josh Donaldson signed a big contract with the Braves. Mm-hmm. So the Indians getting rid of that third base issue. So I would expect, what are they going to do at third base now? Yonder?
Probably, I don't know. Yonder or maybe Urshela, or do they get rid of him? I don't know.
I forgot about
maybe
Urshela.
Maybe Jose Ramirez putting back at third.
Could put Jose back at third. Then who do you put at second?
Kipnis.
Oh, yeah, you would put Kipnis. Yeah, so that makes more sense, yeah. Moving Kip back into second base, mm-hmm. moving Jose back over to third, even though he's not really happy at third, that solidifies your infield with Frankie.
As you see, his season went down last year after they moved him off of third base and put Donaldson there.
True.
He started to struggle. So when you got to learn a new position in the middle of a season, it takes away from something. It usually takes away from the offense. But if you put Ramirez back at third, you got Frankie at short, Kipnis at second, you got Yonder and whoever else at first with Edwin. Gosh, I hope not. But you put Edwin at first, but Yonder there as well.
Yeah,
Yan Gomes back there catching. Outfield wise, I mean, it's baseball is farthest thing from my mind right now. It's hard to.
Well, I know, but more of the story is that the Indians, you know, obviously need to solidify their pitching. Good to let Donaldson go because he was terrible when he was with Cleveland. So bye bye.
Well, I mean, he only played a month.
But bye bye. So Joe, that wraps up our national stuff. Let's get into what's happening tomorrow night right here on the 99.9 WTU's Easy Country Airwaves.
What?
And what's going to take place here in a matter of moments.
Didn't Bruce Buffer says it the best?
Ooh.
No, that's Michael Buffer.
Oh.
It's time.
Oh. It's time!
Yep, it's time finally to announce our Big Z Sports Player of the Year and Coach of the Year top three. Okay?
Finalists.
This is the top three. We've narrowed it down. We gave everybody a week to get their votes in. All of our stringers, everybody was associated with the show this year. And, of course, the Big Z Sports listeners and fans on Facebook, over 1,100 votes total between the two posts. Fans for coaches and players, thank you so much. We appreciate it. It took me 3 hours to tally the votes for the players, just so you know.
Took me about an hour and a half.
Yeah, my computer was running really slow, and I'm like 3 hours. It was like 1:30 in the morning.
I did it on my phone.
Yeah, so anyway, but thank you to everybody that voted. Our top three in no particular order. We will announce our Player of the Year and our Coach of the Year tomorrow night, Wednesday night, at our wrap-up show from 6 until 9. We'll be out at the Point Dining in New Philadelphia. We have 11 coaches confirmed that will be there. We have most of our stringers, a couple guys won't be able to be there, but that's okay. They have other obligations, which I totally understand. Family obligations come first. But big hats off to everybody that voted, who did stuff for us this year, stringers and everybody from, you know, yourself and Jim Haynes and Adam Sawesky, Shannon Thomas, Riley Benson, Josh Lewis, Tim Plants, Rachel, you know, she did a great job. Eric McElroy, of course, you know, Travis McClellan out there, Tony Lane that stepped in for us on a couple games as well.
Nick Rautabush, Riley Benson.
Riley, all them guys that were a part of our show. And, of course, we couldn't do it without our athletic directors helping us, our head coaches being involved, and you know, we appreciate all of them.
Our sponsors,
man, yeah. Absolutely.
If it wasn't for them putting up their dollars to advertise, we wouldn't have a show. We had a record-breaking show this year as far as you know, sponsorship, and we can't do it without our great partners and our great sponsors that were so gracious to hop on board and believe in the Outsiders and believe at what we're doing with our area. And that's why we are the absolute best high school football coverage in the area. We think we're the best coverage, period. But for high school, we definitely think that we're the best. And, you know, we can't thank everybody enough.
And I have a list of the area coaches that who will attend tomorrow. Zach Gardner, West Holmes, Jason Wallach for Garaway, Curtis Metzger from Strasburg, also Gary Spinell. He will join us as well. He was the East District Athletic Director of the Year from Strasburg, so he's going to join us as well. Chad Wallach and Curtis Love from Tuskegee Valley, they'll both be there. Brian Gamble from Sandy Valley, Phil Morrow from Carrollton, Matt Dennison from New Philadelphia, Casey Cummings from TCC, John McCluskey from Claymont, and Dirk Gadd from Newcomerstown. Unfortunately, a couple coaches could not make it. John Slusser will be there as well. His name was on the second page. I didn't turn it there. And unfortunately, Matt Lancaster from Indian Valley, unable to make it in person. We will record an interview and have a little bit of a chat with Matt Lancaster, play it during the show as well. You know, it's going to be a fun show tomorrow night, 6 to 9. Right here on 99.9 WTUZ. We'll probably have it on Facebook Live as well. We'll have some dinner. We'll do our show, all that kind of fun stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk to each and every coach. They all get their own segment to talk about their seasons and put a big capper on this, so to speak, as we get into state championship football weekend.
And Dan Ift is the other coach that won't be able to join us as well from Dover. He has other commitments. We are going to try and reach out to him and catch up to him with an interview as well if we can get a hold of him. So hopefully the goal is to talk to all 13 coaches in our area that support our show and that we cover and support them. And it's great to have that relationship that we do. So again, we will try and get out to both of them and see what happens. But man, what a great show it's going to be. And at the end, we get to announce our Coach of the Year and Player of the Year, which is always exciting. And just make sure you're tuned in. We'll have some Facebook Live going on as well. We'll try and do some of that. We will definitely Facebook Live our Coach of the Year and Player of the Year stuff. So make sure you tune in on Facebook and you tune in to 99.9 WTUZ tomorrow night, Wednesday night, from 6 to 9. But now, let's do some finalists.
How about
I'll read two coaches and you read two players? Does that work?
Well, I'll read a coach, then you read a coach. I'm going to do it this way. I'm just going to read the name of the coach. You're going to read off his accolades.
Okay, that'll work. So I will do that.
We'll start with Coach of the Year, top three finalists in no particular order. These are just the three finalists that we came up with for our Coach of the Year.
That we still work talking about this morning.
Yeah.
So we've had the fan vote.
This
and
has been
everything.
The hardest year.
I'm telling you.
For both player and coach. Some years you're like, okay, it's obvious for one of them.
Right.
But this year,
so hard.
I still don't know. Probably I won't know till I announce it tomorrow night who's going to be our player and coach of the year.
But so hard.
Three finalists.
The Outsiders,
yes.
Three, we have agreed on who the three will be.
Absolutely. And I'll start with Coach of the Year in no particular order. The first Coach of the Year finalist for Big Z Sports will be Brian Gamble from the Sandy Valley Cardinals.
Sandy Valley Cardinals head coach Brian Gamble, our first finalist. They finished 9-2 on the season, 5-0 in the IVC, winning the North Division title, their first conference title since 1956, after finishing 4-6 a year ago. They made the playoffs for the second time in school history, losing to Akron Manchester. Of course, the big wins over Tuskegee Valley in week number 3, week number 8 over East Canton, who was a playoff team. Their only regular season loss was to a playoff Indian Valley team in week number 4. And also, Brian Gamble was named Division 5 East District Coach of the Year. Brian Gamble from Sandy Valley, our first finalist for Big Z Sports Coach of the Year.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Coach. He will be there in attendance tomorrow night as well. Will Brian Gamble, our next finalist for Coach of the Year. We have our top three, just like I mentioned. Our next finalist will be from TCC, Casey Cummings, head coach, gets a team with 16 kids to the playoffs, a 5-5 season. And Chris, you have the other accolades for Coach Cummings.
Just a remarkable, you know, they finished the season 5-6, 3-2 in the IVC. After a 2-5 start, they had to win their final three games, and they did so and got into the playoffs for the first time since 2014. They lost to two-time defending state runner-up Cuyahoga Heights in the first round of the playoffs. Of course, they won their final three games over Buckeye Trail, at Malvern, and at Strasburg. So two of those three on the road to get into the playoffs. Casey Cummings was named Division 7 East District Coach of the Year. Casey Cummings from TCC is our second finalist for Big Z Sports Coach of the Year.
And our third and final finalist for Big Z Sports Coach of the Year. And this one is something that we were debating on this morning. We were debating on all three of these, and like I said, no particular order of these, so don't read into anything. There's no rhyme or reason why I'm telling you this in any order. But our final finalist for Coach of the Year, which we will announce again tomorrow at our wrap-up show, is Ridgewood head football coach John Slusser.
John Slusser from the Ridgewood Generals finished the season 10-2, 4-1 in the IVC, winning the IVC South title. They made the playoffs for the 12th time in Coach Slusser's 14-year history after losing a ton of graduates last year, and leading the team was a freshman quarterback. They defeated Amanda Clear Creek in the playoffs. In the first round, they lost to Meadowbrook in round number two, so winning a playoff game with a freshman quarterback, pretty impressive. They completed a 9-1 season with a lot of young players. Their only regular season loss was in week number 7 to Garaway. They defeated East Canton, who was a playoff team. They also defeated Indian Valley, who was a playoff team, in week number 6. John Slusser, our third and final finalist for Coach of the Year.
Again, the Coach of the Year finalist for Big Z Sports. Again, Brian Gamble, Casey Cummings, and John Slusser. We will announce our winner tomorrow night during our wrap-up show from 6 until 9 on 99.9 WTUZ. And, of course, we'll have it on Facebook Live as well as our wrap-up show tomorrow night. Now on to the Big Z Sports Player of the Year, the top three finalists for us as tabulated by the Big Z Sports crew. And, you know, voting went into this, and it wasn't just one guy's going to be there no matter what. It was voting by all of our stringers, everybody that's associated with our show.
Ago.
Yeah, I mean, and then all of a sudden we get here and we're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what we're doing. So anyway, but there are three finalists for Big Z Sports Player of the Year. The first finalist, Dover quarterback Alex Sayre.
Alex Sayre from the Dover Tornadoes, the 6-foot, 210-pound senior quarterback, had 2,206 yards passing, 72% completion percentage, 20 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He had 112 carries on the ground for 601 yards and 17 touchdowns. He also punted the ball 23 times with a season long of 63 yards. He had 2,807 all-purpose yards. He was named Division II East District First Team and was the Offensive Player of the Year. He was my Hats Off Award winner in week 4 and week 11. He was Joe's Hats Off Award winner in week number 9. The Tornadoes finished 8-3, is the ECOL Scarlet title champions, and they made the playoffs for the first time in 2 years. Alex Sayre, our first finalist, the senior quarterback from Dover.
Yeah, very deserving, Alex Sayre. Again, a finalist for our Big Z Sports Player of the Year. Announce that again tomorrow night from 6 until 9 on our wrap-up show on 99.9 WTZ and from Point Dining in New Philadelphia. Our next finalist, we're going out west for this one. We're going to head out to the land of the West Holmes Knights, and we're going to say congratulations to Bridger Klein, the senior quarterback for West Holmes, is our another finalist for Big Z Sports Player of the Year.
And I can't tell you how difficult it was debating between him and his teammate, Sugar Shane Jones. Just so hard. it was hard debating between all these kids, okay? Let's just be honest. But Bridger Klein is candidate number two, the 5'10", 170-pound senior quarterback from West Holmes. Bridger Klein had 2,874 yards passing, 34 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, a 60% completion percentage, all those school records. He also had 28 carries, only 48 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He punted the ball 15 times for 505 yards and had 9 inside the 20 with a long of 59. He had almost 3,000 all-purpose yards, was named to the first team Division III East District. He was the Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week in week number 4. Eric's Hats Off Award winner in week number 9. Joe's Hats Off Award winner in week number 1. The Knights finished 8-3 on the season and made the playoffs for the first time since 2012. Your second finalist for Big Z Sports Player of the Year, Bridger Klein, the senior quarterback from the West Holmes Knights.
And our third and final finalist for Big Z Sports Player of the Year for 2018. Again, we will announce these tomorrow night, who the winner is of each category, Player of the Year and Coach of the Year, at our wrap-up show 6 to 9 on 99.9 WTUZ. And, of course, Facebook Live WTUZ Big Z Sports. You can find it on there as well as we wrap up the 2018 high school football season. And our third and final finalist this year, quarterback from the Indian Valley Braves, Cade Williams.
Yeah, and another one that was just, so difficult to decide between the two Indian Valley players. It was just so hard, and there was a lot of debating going on, a lot of voting, a lot of point system. The fans played a big part in this. It was just very, very hard. But Cade Williams, a super deserving finalist for Big Z Sports Player of the Year, the 6-foot, 180-pound senior quarterback, defensive back for the Indian Valley Braves. Cade had 1,148 yards and 15 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions, a 57% completion percentage. He had 102 carries, almost 900 yards and 11 touchdowns on the ground. And, oh, by the way, 15 two-point conversion runs and 4 two-point conversion passes. He had 72 tackles on defense, 3.5 for a loss, and 2.5 sacks. He also had 35 kickoffs and 17 punts. The kid did a little bit of everything.
Did he ever come off the field?
No, not really. He had about 2,100 all-purpose yards. He was our play-by-play player of the game in week number 12. He was named first team East District Division 4. Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week in week number 2. My Hats Off Award winner in week number 1. The Braves finished 10-2 on the season with their second straight playoff appearance and a first-round playoff win. And I think the decider was, I don't think they did that without Cade Williams.
Yeah, Cade obviously had some other accolades in there as well. He was All-Ohio Division 4. So we release those as soon as we get them. Division 4 and Division 5 were released on Monday. And if you go to our Facebook page, you can see that first team All-Ohio Division 4. Running backs Caden Hosteller, Indian Valley. Lineman Caleb Dalton from Carrollton. First team All-Ohio defense. Second team offense, quarterback Cade Williams from Indian Valley. Second team defense, Zach Love from Indian Valley was All-Ohio. Third team running back Tyler West from Harrison Central, put him on there. He played a couple teams
Kid's
from around here.
He's a good ball player.
And special mention All-Ohio Brayden Rodstad from Indian Valley and Caleb Dalton from Carrollton as well. And then Kobe Mitchell and Caden Dalton from Harrison Central were special mention All-Ohio. Division 5 quarterback Cam Blair and Gabe Tingle were All-Ohio, third team for Division 5. Second team was John Evan from Ridgewood as a lineman. Second team All-Ohio Division 5. Third team All-Ohio in defense, Bryce Kelly, the senior from Sandy Valley. Special mention in Division 5, Brendan Obradovich, Brody Kelly, Cameron Woods, and Demetrius Evans, all from Sandy Valley. Connor Kunze, Zach Prater, and Chase Minnett from Ridgewood. Special mention All-Ohio. And Noah Love from Tuskegee Valley, also special mention All-Ohio.
All very well deserving.
In Division 4. And then if you look at Division 6 and Division 7, those came out on Sunday. We released those as well. First team defense All-Ohio, Division 6, Gavin Little. Carroll. Newcomers Town was a first-team All-Ohio, second-team All-Ohio offense, Zach Grafton, Buckeye Trail, and Dawson Lay, quarterback from the Garaway Pirates. Second-team defense, Ethan Roden on the line. He's a senior. Third-team All-Ohio offense, Matthew Mullen from Garaway. Special mention All-Ohio Colson starter, Curtis Neal, Corey Stress, and Dylan Hirschberger, all from Garaway. Isaac Hickman and Jack Perry from Buckeye Trail. That's all Division 6 All-Ohio from our area. Division 7 first-team All-Ohio, Elijah Yoder from East Canton, and Cody Vacco from East Canton as well, a defensive back. Second-team All-Ohio, quarterback Alex Price from TCC. Congratulations to him. The lineman, Costa DeMos from East Canton. He's a senior. Third-team All-Ohio in Division 7, Anthony Fergas from TCC. Special mention, Jared Willoughby, Logan Olchi from Strasburg, Reese Blanchard, Cordell Tingler, Paul Buss, Anthony Fredericks, and Ryan Dick from TCC, Dylan Mowry, Sam Earle, Kenneth Martin, Derek Hutchinson, and Adam Moser from Malvern. Joey Shar from Conotton Valley was All-Ohio special mention Division 7, and Colton Van Horace from East Canton as well, All-Ohio. So a lot of nominees from Division 4, 5, 6, and 7 from our area. Divisions 2 and 3 come out today. We'll have those up as soon as we get them. And Division 1 and Mr. Football will be announced tomorrow. So
right, and that's just congratulations to all the players on great careers. Just because we selected three coaches doesn't mean we don't have a lot of great coaches in our area. Just because we have three finalists for Player of the Year doesn't mean that their teams could have gotten anywhere without any of the other candidates. Every player is essential in how this thing works and how your team works. But we had to, there always has to be a finalist.
Sure.
There are three finalists and there has to be one winner. And it's just like with a Heisman Trophy, we can only give it to just one.
Yep.
So our finalists hopefully will be able to join us if they are available tomorrow night, which would be great to have Cade, Alec, and
Bridger
there. It would be outstanding to have them with us so that we can put them in chairs and we can open up the envelope and let them know, you know, who the Big Z Sports Player of the Year is. It would be a pretty special thing. Hopefully you'll be watching on Facebook. Hopefully you'll be tuned in to 99.9 WTUZ. Again, congratulations to all of our finalists. Congratulations to all of our candidates. Congratulations to all of our players in the area. And we can't wait to cover you and others in the winter sports. Girls basketball, boys basketball, bowling, swimming. We've got all that stuff coming up, and it's going to be exciting to continue to cover it. We've already started the process to submit our play-by-play games to the bosses that be for play-by-play basketball games this year. So coming to a gym near you, the Big Z Sports team and the Outsiders.
Absolutely. Again, let's break it down real quick and we'll wrap this up. Big Z Sports Player of the Year finalist, Alex Sayre, Cade Williams, Bridger Klein, and Coach of the Year finalist will be Casey Cummings, Brian Gamble, and John Slusser. We'll announce all those winners tomorrow night at our wrap-up show. Again, 6 until 9 from the Point Dining in New Philadelphia. We'll see you out there again beginning at 6 o'clock on 99.9 WTUZ, Facebook as well. So if you're not going to be out there to join us, but you can join us on Facebook Live and see the announcement there. We'll talk to all the coaches in the area that will be there to join us and have some fun and eat some good food, and we'll do a lot of good things out there. Tomorrow night, put a capper on the 2018 high school football season for our area. Again, big thanks to Chris Kale today for our podcast, getting all of our information ready for the Player and Coach of the Years. And we appreciate you watching. We'll check in with you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on 99.9 WTUZ. This has been the Big Z Sports Podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, 330-365-9022. We'll talk to you tomorrow night beginning at 6 o'clock.
Hey, Z Country, Jeff here at Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, your power sports headquarters. Are you looking for a quality ATV that won't break the bank? Stop by our showroom and check out our new line of Kymco ATVs and side-by-side, like the Kymco MXU 450i that features four-wheel drive with diff lock, fuel injection, and a 12-month factory warranty, all for under $5,000. Get off-road with Action Extreme Sports, your power sports headquarters, located just off I-77 in New Philadelphia, or at AESRacing.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at Big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.